I have long been, let's see, what's the right word, a cautious proponent of power from space. There is one thing that I've been concerned about, and that, of course, is the safety aspect of it. If you beam microwave energy in mass back to Earth and you have a spacecraft that wanders a little bit, you damn well better have a very, very, very secure method of keeping it where it is or shutting it off if it begins to wander. Otherwise, you could cook a trail as it moves.
Well, I've been very concerned about that. And I have been told over and over again that the transmission methods, there are two different transmission methods. One is a light-to-light laser, which is being funded by one of my friends at NSF, and the other is microwave. And I've been told that microwaves coming through the air are no more of the kind that we're talking about, are no more harmful to you and me than radio waves. Now, we've been living with radio waves ever since we were born. There were 600 radio stations licensed in 1922.
Right.
That's long before you and I came around, and we did not come out as mutants.
No, I don't quite buy that.
I don't either. I won't believe it until I really, really, really see it. But as you can tell, right now we're pulling a lot of things together. Space solar power is not something that the space community is universally behind. In fact, far from it. There are a lot of people in the space community who oppose space solar power because they have their own agendas, and there's only a limited amount of money to go around.
Right.
One of the things that I'm doing is Condoleezza Rice-style shuttle diplomacy, trying to get the members of the space community to work together. Whether there's time for that, given my constraints, having to work on book deadlines and things like that, we'll have to see. But so far, I'm doing my best with it. We'll see what happens. And as for why NASA is hemorrhaging, it's because a year ago, almost precisely a year ago, the Chinese put two men into space. And that prodded George Bush. George basically brought in his wise men and said, I need a vision for space. Now, when we talk about without a vision, the people will perish, we're not talking about something stale and dry that's on a piece of paper. We're talking about passionate.
But he needs a funded vision.
He needs that's another problem with George Bush. What he proclaims he will do is not what he funds. But in this case, the vision that they came up with was something that made my heart sink. And we talked about this before. It was the CEV and CLV program.
You don't like it. And you said there's a lot of unhappiness with the crew exploration
vehicle,
the crew launch vehicle.
There's a tremendous amount of unhappiness because, Art, have you seen the pictures? You must have right now.
I have seen pictures. Obviously, the shuttle is almost history. I mean, it's very old. We have to move on to whatever's next.
Right.
And, you know, why is there so much unhappiness with it?
Because what's next is a repeat of the Apollo program. What's next, when you put together a mission that's going to cost $14 to $17 billion a year, and it's something that literally looks up at the sky, that literally reaches toward the stars, that literally can provide a beacon of light. You are talking about something that has to make the human spirit resonate. And I hate to sound so evangelical about something like space and technology, but this is about spirit. It is about soul. And Bush, unfortunately, and his minions were tone deaf to the human spirit. So what they did is circulated a bunch of pictures of vehicles that could only take us up to the moon to make footprints on the moon and put another one of those flags up there. And that says to you and me, your best years, America, were in 1969. Your best years are in the past. A program of this kind has to say your best years are in the future. Now, to achieve this program, which even Mike Griffin, the head of NASA, calls Apollo on steroids. In other words, he's aware of the fact that it's an Apollo repetition.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. They've been cutting budgets for all kinds of other things. So one of my recent friends from this round of trips I've been making to the space conventions at NASA said, I used to tell people that my job at NASA was thinking big ideas. They gave me a title last week that doesn't allow me to say that anymore. Another person who's done some remarkably innovative things at NASA said, NASA is in a state of paralysis because of the space industrial complex. I can't take it anymore. I'm leaving at the end of the month. Then when I had lunch with him 2 days ago here in Washington, he said, please don't tell anybody that I said I'm leaving in a month because I haven't told my NASA teammates yet.
All right.
And this kind of discontent is all over NASA. It's because no one wants to put up throwaway billion-dollar tin cans, and that's what these things are. They're not reusable vehicles for the most part. And nobody wants to simply repeat Apollo. People want to do things that take them into new frontiers technologically,
sure,
that excite them. So does
sure
the American public. Plus, Bush is only in office for another 2 years, and you are very right. Whoever follows him as president may very well say, why are we wasting all of this money in space, especially if there is no exciting vision in space for us in space whatsoever?
Well, I think you're on the right track with energy, Howard. Honestly, I do. I have a friend right now, actually he's been a friend for a long time, he's going to be on the program with me next week, who's got a private space effort going. But in terms of a national, look, we can do this kind of deal, we can make ourselves at least well on the road toward energy independence kind of drive. Something short of that is just not going to be a vision for the American people. And minus a vision for another 30 years, we're in deep doo-doo.
I agree with you totally, and you couldn't have said it better. You put it much more succinctly than I can. Now, you talked about, I call them the billionaires. These are the little guys. NASA's opening up a tiny little spigot of budget for
That's
the
right
little guys, for the
That's
private
right
industry people. It's opening up something called the Commercial Orbital Transportation Demonstrations Program.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got something coming up, Art, that's pretty dire. In 2010, we're supposed to retire the space shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get a new vehicle until 2014. For 4 years, America, which is supposed to be the leading country in the world, doesn't have access to space. And India has access to space, and China has access to space, and even Israel has access to space, but not the United States of America.
You, of course, refer to manned access.
Yes, manned access.
Yeah.
That's like slicing my tendons. There was serious consideration of not repairing Hubble. That's like taking out my eye, for God's sakes. And I'm speaking not just about me and my selfish desires. I'm speaking about hundreds of millions of other people. There is an insensitivity to our dreams right now in NASA that is chilling and killing.